Today on Michelle Bentham Creates podcast, we're going to go through Matthew chapter 13 again. We're going to begin in verse 24. So if you haven't read through the chapter of Matthew 13 in your own Bible, made your own notes about it, then go ahead and push pause right now on the podcast. Read Matthew chapter 13 and come back and then push play and continue on with today's message. We're going to begin in actually verse 24. We concluded yesterday with saying that the final harvest is worth any amount of hard work. And so as we consider what that means, as we consider what that means to us, I want to just introduce myself. I'm Michelle Bentham. If this is the first time you're tuning in, we're journeying through the Gospels, and we are currently reading through the chapter of Matthew 13. We've just read the parable of the sower, and what I do is I just take you through where God has taken me as I read through Scripture. I don't use study notes. I don't use commentaries. I pray. I listen to the Lord. I make notes in the margin of my Bible, and I just share with you what He's sharing with me. And so as we go into today, I feel the need to stop and pray. I usually pray before I get on the air, but I just feel like I need to stop and pray today. Lord, would you make our hearts good soil? Would you stir up things that need to be removed like rocks? Would you cut away and prune out any thorns or thistles that would crowd out the growing work you're doing in our life? Would you restore back what's been stolen? And help us, give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. A hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, a hunger and thirst for who you are, for the truth of your word. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we are in verse 24. I'm going to pick it up right there. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a farmer who sowed good seed in his field, and while the farmer's workers were sleeping, his enemy crept in the field and sowed weeds among all the wheat seeds. Then he snuck away. Eventually the crops grew, wheat but also weeds. So the farmer's workers said to him, "Sir, why didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where did these weeds come from?" And the farmer replies, "My enemy must have done this." And the workers say, "Should we go pull up all the weeds?" And the farmer says, "No, that's too risky. If we pull up the weeds, you would probably pull up some of the wheat as well. We'll let them grow until harvest time, and I will tell the harvesters to collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and only then to harvest the wheat and bring it to my barn." The enemy plants false witnesses among believers. That's what I wrote in my notes. That's what God was revealing to me that day. The enemy plants false witnesses among believers to defile the good name of God and steal His glory. Can I tell you something? Just because the person that you're looking at and listening to doesn't quite stand on the same foundation you do, doesn't mean they're a false witness. I'm going to say it again. And it doesn't matter which camp you come from, whether you're from the charismatic camp or the evangelical camp or the traditional camp or the progressive camp or the emerging church or the King James only church. Just because they're different from you does not mean they're false witnesses. Just because their experience and their testimony is different doesn't make them false witness. What makes a person a false witness is distortion of the truth of God's word and the fruit that distortion produces, because it will be empty. It will be puffed up. It will be proud. It will be those people that Jesus said to them, "Depart from me because I never knew you. You did works in my name and I never knew you." This is why reading His Word for ourselves is so important. This is why the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to sanctify you, to cut away the parts of you that are your flesh and your own opinions, so that only the truth of God remains. And it gets so deep in the marrow of your bones, it becomes who you are. Because only then will you not be in danger of stealing God's glory and stealing and defiling His good name. And you know, I do think in a lot of ways that we need to remember that that the Pharisees, the lawgivers, called Jesus a Pharisee. We need to be careful about labeling people because they're different. And we need to be more about the business of seeing that person through God's eyes. And if there is true discernment, that there is something that's off that needs to be corrected, I pray God would give us favor to love that person to a place of wholeness and completion in Him, rather than seeing them live according to our perspective and our standard. And it's interesting because the farmer says, don't take the false wheat out of the field because that's too risky. It might uproot some of the good stuff. Instead, wait till the harvest is ripe. And then I will tell those who are to collect the harvest to go through and tie up the weeds first into bundles and burn them. And then come back and pull the wheat out and bring it to my barn. Now, I want you to think about this in the context of what I just said. You see, we think false witnesses need to be removed from the church and exposed, right? But God says, wait, wait. That's hard. That's hard. Because that means it's up to each individual person not to let their heart be deceived. That means as the wheat, I need to not let the tares choke out the life I have in God and the fruit He wants to produce in me. I don't need to have my eyes focused out here, looking at other people. I need to have my eyes focused here and up there, looking to Him. What is He doing in my heart, and how does He want to minister that out? And here's what I believe. The reason He tells them that is because sometimes the false witness, or the thing that looks like a false witness, the thing that looks like a tare, is actually wheat. It's actually wheat. But you will not know until the fruit is produced. And then, as my friend Beth Moore taught one time, she's not my personal friend. I know her through social media and through her Bible studies. I have met her a time or two. But we are not best buds having coffee on a regular basis. I just want to make that clear. I have not sat in a classroom under her teaching except going to her conference events. And so I just want to share this with you because I remember when I heard her teach it, it was so powerfully impacting to me that I just want you to think about it. Because oftentimes in Scripture, like back when Elijah was asking to experience the presence of God, he came in a gentle wind. The wind is what blew through the early church in Acts and imparted the Holy Spirit. There was a mighty rushing wind. And here's what Beth Moore taught that day as she shared with us about how farmers, wheat farmers, tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. She said she had met this wheat farmer one time and they were walking in his field. And she asked him, how do you know the difference between what's wheat and what's not wheat? And he said, well, I'll tell you. When the wind blows, the wheat bows to the wind. But the tares stand up tall. Why would that be? Because the wheat has weight in it. It has, if you will, the weight of glory in it. It has a seed in it. And when the wind comes and that wheat stalk is brushed by the wind, the weight in its head bows it over. The weight of the seed bows it over. But the tare has nothing in it. It's empty inside. There's nothing to compel it over. There's no seed of faith. There's no recognition of God. This is a good word. And it also, and that's the next note in my Bible. The false witnesses are not to be addressed. And it says why? It's too risky. As you pluck them out, you would probably pull up some of the good wheat as well. So let them both grow until harvest time, and then we'll judge them by their fruit. We'll collect the wheat and take it to the storehouse, but before we do that, we'll collect the weeds and take them to the fire. We won't take the empty, but we'll take the good. Jesus then told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a sower took and planted in his field. Mustard seeds are minute, tiny, tiny seeds. But the seeds grow into trees, and flocks of birds can come and build their nests in the branches. And Jesus told a fourth parable. Imagine a woman preparing a loaf of bread. The kingdom of heaven is like the leaven she folds into her dough. She kneads and kneads until the leaven is worked into all the dough. Without the leaven, the dough remains flat, but the secret is the almost invisible leaven making her loaves fluff and rise. Secret invisible ingredients bring fullness. This is why secret place times with the Lord are so important. This is why secret place times with the Lord. Do you realize that there will be times in your life when what God shares with you is just for you? It's taken me a long time to learn this. But there are lots of things I hear from God that I don't ever tell another soul. Sometimes I might tell one other soul, and that's my husband. And then there are other things that I know the Lord wants me to share as encouragement, that I know the Lord wants me to share as a building up or an exhortation, that I know the Lord wants me to share as comfort. But then there are times when it's just about me and Him. And I don't use that as a weapon. And I don't use it to say that I am special. I just know that sometimes there are secret, invisible ingredients that I need in my life, that God's willing to provide, that don't need to be shared with anybody else, because they're all about bringing the fullness of Him into me. Verse 34, it says, Jesus gave all these teachings to the crowd in parables. Indeed, He spoke only in parables in fulfillment of the prophetic words of the Psalms. I will open my mouth in parables. I will tell them things that have been hidden and obscure since the very beginning of the world. And then Jesus left the crowds and returned to His house, and the disciples followed Him. My final note for today is that things we are meant to know are revealed in simple stories of relationship that unlock heaven's mysteries. Things we are meant to know, that God intends for us to know, are revealed in simple stories, parables, of relationship, and meaning that I will be able to relate to God through that story, and that it will somehow relate to the life that I'm living, that unlock heaven's mysteries. You know, it takes me back to something that I posted on my blog this week. You can find that at michellebenthamcreates.com. The title of the post is Bible, the Word of God. And at the very end, I posted a scripture that I memorized many years ago, probably about 10 years ago. I memorized this scripture because I was praying it over my family, over my children, over my husband, over our household. And that scripture is Deuteronomy 29:29. And it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may always live by the words of this law. This law, that law that required atonement, that was broken over and over and over and over again throughout history. That law that brought sin to light and put Jesus on a cross. That law is something that we are to live by, but we cannot live by that law in our own strength. We have to live superseding the law through grace. Meaning that we don't compromise the law and we don't forsake the law, but we remember that Jesus fulfilled the law and that the fruit of the Spirit rises above the law and it lives beyond the law and it cuts away anything in us that would choose sin over God. Things we are meant to know revealed in simple stories of relationship that unlock heaven's mysteries. The things revealed allow us to live by the righteousness of Christ. I want you to hear that over and over. The things revealed allow us to live by the mystery that is the righteousness of Christ. And He has special revelation and impartation for each of us. And it comes by reading His Word, guided by the Holy Spirit, to the point that we know His character and nature, and we immediately receive conviction when we depart from it. And we respond. Whew. Jesus, come quickly. So today, Lord, I pray just what I read. That You will open Your mouth in parables and tell us things that have been hidden and obscure since the very beginning of the world. That You will tell us things that are meant to be known as revelation through the simple stories of relationship that will unlock Your heavenly mysteries and reveal what it is You want us to know about You, about Your kingdom, about our purpose in that, and about what You want to do in our lives. I thank You, Lord, for who You are. I thank You for Jesus who died on the cross and every person within the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that they would have a supernatural encounter with You, even as these words are spoken. You know what their need is, God. And so I pray You would meet it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back on the air again on Friday, and we will be sharing the end of Matthew chapter 13. So we'll be taking it from verse 36. It's at 36b through the end of the chapter, which is 58. And so thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of Michelle Bentham Creates. Thank you for honoring the work of God in my life by participating. I pray that you are blessed by these words, and I pray God would move your heart to step out and reach out and live out of who He is in you. I thank you for just your encouragement by listening. And I ask that God would pour out His favor and His blessing on you in the days ahead. You may find out more about me through my social media outlets, which are on Facebook at Michelle Bentham Creates and on Twitter at Michelle Bentham. You can also find me on my website, michellebenthamcreates.com. I have artwork as well as written work there, and some of my media is there as well. We will be picking up the video broadcast, and those will be posted on the website, and then the audio podcast will continue to be available through Podomatic and iTunes. So if you subscribe to either one of those, you'll pick them up, and it's also available on Google Play. Thanks again for tuning in. Remember that the music provided in each podcast is courtesy of bensound.com. The selection is Tenderness, and everything on this podcast other than the music is copyright Michelle Bentham Creates, 2016, all rights reserved.